Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. This
it is that time of week. Joe and Cindy Farini join us where they get listener topics and from friends on Facebook and their travels around the country speaking for family life. Joe and Cindy bring us topics for marriage. And in fact, I think this one comes from Len today. Isn't that right, Joe?
Wow.
You cannot tell that information.
Oh, Joe, that's why I asked you, and because I know Cindy would say, Brian, stop that.
Yeah.
But today's topic is nagging, I guess, huh?
Yes.
That is correct, huh?
Yes, and by the way, Happy New Year officially.
Feliz Año Nuevo.
Thank you. Somebody called in sent a question, and they said that their spouse nags a little bit, which I thought was interesting, a little bit. And they asked if we could recommend some ways to handle it so that they could both get through this without being frustrated at one another. And so I think that's really a thoughtful question. A couple of things that we came up with, not that we've ever had this problem or anything like that, but you know, we definitely have, all of us probably have gone through times where we've been asked by our spouse more than once to do something or to consider something or to talk about something, and we just don't, you know, go that route. So we've come up with a couple of ideas. One of them was, first of all, to think of something that's nonverbal in terms of making that request. So maybe it could be a post-it note. Maybe you could do it through a text. I don't particularly like that idea because sometimes you don't maybe get to your phone to look at that the same that you might if it was a post-it note right in front of your face in the kitchen. But a honey-do list. One of the things that I thought would be really good would be if you just had one of those little notebooks that like a woman can, you know, throw in her purse and just kept it maybe in that junk drawer in the kitchen. And when you had something that you wanted to share with your spouse, like, you know, can you finally fix that leaking toilet? Put it on the notebook. And when you do that, you cross it off and put the book away. So then the job is done. So you both know that the job got done. So those are just a couple of thoughts that we had just off the top of our heads.
And now, if I remember correctly, on Facebook, I believe that was a real life post-it note, was it not?
Well, I can tell you, it truly was, but we did have to go a little further and call an actual plumber because we wound up having to actually just get new toilets, not just fix the problem. I think they were too old. But, you know, one thing, Joe always works great off of a list, and I think he would rather that than have me repeatedly ask the same question. But he gets to that list pretty good, and so I'm really appreciative of that.
Absolutely. Yeah, give me a list any day. And, you know, one of the great illustrations I was given many years ago of what nagging is all about is that nagging is like being nibbled to death by a duck. And you can, that's a great visual, if you can put that there. Yeah. And so, you know, I'm encouraged that the question really starts with the operative phrase being nagging a little bit. So with that, we have a lot of freedom to move in the right direction. And I agree with Cindy. I think a real practical way that can be done is to that you both agree to establish a to-do list that Cindy was talking about. And then in addition to that, maybe put in a timing component to getting those things done. And if you will, you want to prioritize that list as much as possible. But, you know, letting each other better understand what and each other needs and what each other wants is something that will minimize conflicts and, if you will, it will reduce nagging as well. So really open, transparent communication is critical and vital to reducing nagging in general.
So now I'm sorry, Joe. I have to jump in, though, because I think I could picture in my mind a spicy husband who isn't all that bothered by the slow drip from the toilet or the runs every once in a while. And so his response to the note is, why would I need to call the plumber if you're frustrated by it? Do you have a phone? Why don't you call the plumber?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know what? One of the things I was thinking.
Thank you, Cindy.
See that? She's just jumped right in there. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who would have been like that, Brian. But you know what? One of the things I think is now marriage is not to make us happy. We are not in marriage for us just to be happy. But within marriage, I think it's important that we do things and we follow through on things to please each other and to make each other happy. And because of those kinds of things, then our marriage usually can be a happy marriage. And that's what I kind of think when somebody has that attitude, it's like they don't really care what the other person thinks or what the other person is feeling. They're just kind of dismissing it and not really wanting to work together. I mean, when you think of all the things that a home needs to keep it running, it's pretty hard for just one person to do it. I know a lot of single parents who do that. But in a marriage, I think we should try to please each other. And if my spouse has a request, I try to make that request happen.
I know that nagging sometimes can be not good or not healthy. So like how do you recognize if you're the person that's nagging and you're being a little controlling or unreasonable? You know, because you're mentioning some nagging that it's like valid. The toilet needs fixing. There are other type of
and
nagging
your phone's
that's
broken,
just
so you can't call. So.
Exactly. There's other type of nagging that's just like, no, I want, like pick this up, or I want the house to look a certain way. You know, like you're just being unreasonable. So, I think it's harder for one spouse to tell the other you're being unreasonable. So, can you just tell me how do you identify if you're the one being unreasonable?
You probably watch if your spouse is rolling their eyes. You know?
Well, they could just be being lazy, but how do you know, like, sure. Man, maybe I'm just, how the Bible talks about a nagging wife and how you just want to be sitting outside of the house? I would want to know, am I asking stuff that just needs to be done, or am I crossing the line and just being unreasonable and annoying to my husband?
Yes. That's a really good question, Janelle. And I think that would be a great conversation that a husband and wife should have. And they should sit down. And if this were you, I would probably say, I sometimes feel like when I ask for the clothes to be picked up three times that I'm nagging, but there's no reason why you can't or the children can't do those things. Part of that is just being part of a family. Mm-hmm. And I think if people don't know that it needs to be done, they're not going to do it necessarily. They're not going to just think, oh, it needs to be done. So I would, if you or if someone else, out there is thinking, maybe I'm just being the nag about this and maybe I shouldn't be, I think that would be a great conversation to have, because maybe the spouse isn't even thinking that way. Maybe it's just like water off a duck's back and they're not even listening.
Yeah.
So I would have that conversation. And then, when my kids were little, and this, of course, we're talking about marriage, but I think a lot of what you do as a husband and wife transfers to your children. And I remember when the children were little, I'd find stuff on the floor, like a gum wrapper and I thought to myself, why do I have to be the one to pick up somebody else's gum wrapper? And why did they just throw it on the floor? That's not very kind, I don't think. Mm-hmm. So I got a box. So I made it nonverbal. I got a box. And from one allowance to the next, I would pick up stuff that didn't belong to me. And at the end, I would show it to the children and I would say, okay, here's your allowance. And now you're going to pay me for doing the work that you didn't do.
Nice.
And so I'd pick up a gum wrapper, and you would know immediately whose it was, because they're like, oh man, I have to pay a quarter for this, And now this is not what I would do with my husband, but if you're training your children,
I hope not.
I'm gonna start a box. I'm gonna start
price
a box.
Price is much higher. Thank you.
I'll start a box every time he puts a paper clip on the counter, not in the cupboard, I'll make a note of it. I mean, part of it is I don't think we should throw it in their face all the time, but part of it is there needs to be conversation. Because if you're living alone, that's one thing. But if you're living in a marriage and you're living in a family, you have to be kind about what's going on around you in the whole family.
I'm really curious, what do you do if your spouse is bugging you about something that you really think shouldn't be done or doesn't need to be done? How do you handle that?
Well, it comes down to a matter of perspective, doesn't it? And I think many times when it comes to this whole issue of nagging, we have to really go back a few steps and figure out, what got you to this point? And many times, and I'll just use us for example here, is that before that thing got on the to-do list, it had been going around in Cindy's head for a long time as to what needed to be done. And so I feel like I'm jumping in the middle of a conversation here a lot of times when I get out, when I see that to-do list.
Yeah.
And that's where it's so important to really be in good communications throughout the day, because it's those little things, from picking up the bubblegum wrapper to fixing the toilets. I mean, if you are constantly having good communication with one another, you don't have to wait till you're at a boiling point before that hits that list.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would much rather be engaged in good communications with my wife and try to intercept problems before they become an issue. And so I know one of the questions that we have before us here as well is, what do you do when there's complete disagreement about how do you maintain your house?
Yeah.
I mean, we have many conferees that we've talked to, and one spouse is really a neat freak, and the other one is just like, I don't really care what it looks like, in the house, and I'm really not bothered by my clothes being on the floor or, hanging in the shower or whatever.
Yeah.
And, what do you do in those situations? And I think, a big issue here is that it's not so much the clothes hanging around the house as much as it is a lack of love and respect for each other. And a great book that was written years ago was, Dr. Eckrich's book, Love and Respect. And I would just encourage folks to, if you're having struggles with this one, nagging, I would pick up that book, Love and Respect, by Dr. Emerson Eckrich. And I just want to share with you what it says basically in that book. And that is a summary of the book, is that wives were made to love. They want to love. They expect love. But husbands are made to be respected. They want respect and they expect respect. And when a husband feels disrespected, it's especially hard to love his wife. And his love motivates her respect, and her respect motivates his love.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as that applies to nagging, this is just, you do the things to serve each other because you love each other and you respect each other. You don't do it to make your life miserable. I've never had a husband come up to me and say, hey, listen, Joe, I just want to be miserable for the rest of my life. I've never heard that. But, what I do hear is that there is this desire to just really grow in intimacy with one another. And if you're going about nagging each other, it's going to be tough to really get to that point. And I think, because Janelle asked the question is, when do you know if you're the nagger? I mean, if you can see backpedaling taking place in your husband's eyes every time you're approaching him with another thing to do or being shunned or avoided, then you got a pretty good gauge there that you probably are being a little over the top and asking for things to be done. Mm-hmm. And, you can't do these things. You can't get everything done on your list with a better cooperation, but it's a spirit of cooperation if you just – we just begin to open up and talk with each other.
We're just about out of time here. We have about a minute left. Cindy, any final thoughts for us about nagging?
One of the things that comes to my mind is just the idea that, we all come into marriage with different thoughts about the way our home's going to be run and the way our marriage is going to take place. And so we always talk about the importance of good communication. But I also sense that when nagging gets to a point that it becomes a problem is often because one spouse is withholding from the other. And sometimes they're doing things purposely, really just to frustrate the other person. Like, that attitude that you have, well, I'm not going to go there. I'm not doing that. That's not my problem. And so that has to just stop. We have to look into marriage as a team effort. Together, each accomplishes more. TEAM. And so we need to come to this together. So have a conversation, figure out if writing it down on a piece of paper or texting it to each other or, what is the best way for that other person to get the jobs done that need to be done? Because it goes both ways. Both the husband will have things to request of the wife and the wife of the husband.
It's 7:30, time for us to say goodbye. But again, Joe and Cindy Farini with us each Monday this half hour with My Marriage Matters. If you want to find them online, look for them on Facebook. You can find them with My Marriage Matters, or you can go to joeferini.com or cindyferini.com. Thanks, you both. We'll talk to you next week, okay?
All right.
Sounds great. Thanks so much.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.